turn with me to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. I'm going to take the next three Fridays to share about some truth pertaining to Israel. There are many reasons why we need to understand the doctrine about Israel. More than just the doctrine about Israel, but really what is in the heart of God regarding Israel. There are many, many reasons. I just give you three reasons. Okay, one is that as a house of prayer, we are called to intercede for Israel. It's not an option. It's not a choice. We have to. Turn with me to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. You know, this is one of the most common verse that we quote regarding a 24/7 house of prayer. But more than just a 24/7 house of prayer, giving God no rest, there is reason why God wants to set up a 24/7 house of prayer. One of the main reasons is to pray and intercede for the nation of Israel. That's why we need to understand. We have to have a correct and biblical understanding of Israel so that we can pray correctly. That is the key. Okay, Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. The Lord says this, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give him no rest. In this just two verses, there's two conditions. Say, don't stop praying. I will see to it that there will be a 24/7 house of prayer, fire on the altar, intercession and worship keep rising up until two things happen. Two things happen. Till he establishes and till he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. In this verse, talk about two things. One is pray for the nation of Israel. I mean, that's one of the key. Of course, we don't just pray for Israel, but Israel plays a big part. Okay, we need to step up our intercession for Israel. That's where not just understanding biblically or have a correct knowledge of Israel, but we also need to ask God to give us a heart for Israel. I say heart for Israel, not sentimentalism nor romanticizing, because we can go the other extreme where we go into this romanticizing Israel, and that is not biblical. I could explain a little bit to you what does that mean later. But the key is to have a correct biblical understanding concerning Israel and what is the heart of God concerning Israel, because God wants us to pray till Israel is established. Jerusalem is established. Israel or Jerusalem is established means they come to the knowledge of Jesus as their Messiah. There are more and more pockets of Jewish people around the world getting saved. Commonly, we call them as Messianic Jews. But as a whole, not yet. Because the Bible prophesied, make it very clear that one day, okay, when I say one day, I don't mean in one day, 24 hours. That means there will come a time all Israel will be saved. That means 100%. That's why today I'm going to share about the mystery of Israel. In fact, not just the mystery of Israel, the importance, the necessity that we need to understand the mystery of Israel. Just from one verse, okay? One verse. So, one of the reasons we need to understand about Israel, because it's the mandate of houses of prayer to stand in the gap for Israel. We need to pray for Israel, okay? It's a big deal. Two. Israel play a vital role. In fact, I would say Israel play a huge role regarding end time and second coming of Jesus. If you are so-called the eschatological expert, the end time expert, if you take Israel out of equation, then many of the end time things do not make sense at all. You must always put Israel in the equation. Read through all the scripture in the Bible pertaining to end time. Israel is always in the picture. When you take the nation of Israel out of the picture, you will get a little bit warped theory about end time. Because Israel make a vital role. I mean, play a vital role, a huge role. That's where we need to understand. Again, it's not an option. That's why it's so scary when people teach about the church has replaced Israel as the people of God. Yes, we are the people of God, but the call of Israel is irrevocable. Because replacement theory is from the pit of hell. That's where I'm going to prove it to you today, just from one verse. We need to understand Israel. Then we will understand about this whole end time scenario, the whole chronological timeline of end time, and how we can pray. You see, one of the key things is to pray for the nation of Israel. Unless, if you want to circle this word, unless, somewhere in your mind. Unless the nation of Israel receive the Messiah back to Jerusalem, Jesus will not come back. Have you heard of this famous verse, Matthew 23, verse 39? Jesus said, I will not see you again until one more time you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's a prayer not uttered by the Gentile church, but the Jewish people. Okay, I always try to do it in Jewish, but I think always I flop it badly, but Cynthia is here, she can help me. Baruch, Haba, Besher, Adoniah. It's blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When you understand the whole heart of it, the dynamic of it is so powerful because the church will be praying. Revelation 22, 17. Come. Spirit and the bride say, come. That is the shortest prayer in the entire Bible. It's the word called Maranatha. In Greek, yes, Maranatha. That is Maranatha. Come. I mean, more than just come. Come, Lord Jesus. The church rising up as a bride of Christ pray, oh, Maranatha. The Jewish people will welcome Messiah as he march into Jerusalem. The church and the Jewish nation, Jesus will come back all the way to Jerusalem. That's why it's so crucial for us to have a correct and biblical understanding of Israel, not what you think. That's why I'm going to run through just one verse. I'm just giving you a lot of introduction. The third reason, I give you three reasons why we need to understand Israel, but there are more than three, but just for the house, three. One is the mandate of the house of prayer to pray for Israel. We have to. It's not an option. We have to. But of course, we have to pray correctly, biblically correct. Two is Israel play a huge role in the last days. When you take Israel out of the equation, it doesn't make sense anymore. Really. Really. That's why when Israel came back in 1948, it threw off all the theologians. Because for a while, a lot of commentary they wrote about end time or many, many things pertaining to the church, they never factored Israel into the equation because the nation of Israel was not there. But suddenly, the nation of Israel came back. It shocked everybody. You know, you hear me always say this, which is true. The return of the nation of Israel is probably the third greatest miracle in the entire human history. The third. The first one, of course, is the second coming. The second is the birth, the first coming of Jesus. The nation of Israel is third. I checked through history and so on and so on. Historians all say this. Israel is the only nation has past, present, and future. Most nations, once they are deleted from the map for more than one generation, they never come back. Israel was wiped off twice, but she came back twice. One is 586 BC. You must know this date. This is a crucial date. Where Nebuchadnezzar came, marched right into Jerusalem, and demolished Israel and took a group of Jewish people as an exile, and the nation of Israel does not exist for 70 years. Then next, come after 70 AD, Empress Titus came of Rome. No more Israel since AD 70. But after nearly 2,000 years, she came back, and it's a miracle. If I have time, I tell you how it came back. It's really the act of God. That's why we need Israel play a huge role in the last days. Raymond, can you down 1 degree? Okay, yeah, because I'm feeling hot. And the third reason, God has the great zeal for Israel. God is not done with Israel. If we all think that God is done with Israel, you are standing on the side of Satan. I say, wow, how come you're so strong? Let me prove to you later from the scripture. There is a reason. No, this is where we need to understand. No, no need to understand. We need to have a biblical understanding of Israel, because if you understand the biblical perspective, you can explain what is happening at the Middle East. It's not a political issue. It is a spiritual issue. In fact, it's a God issue. When you begin to understand the biblical perspective, you understand how come there's no peace in Middle East. You know why? The soul I saw, in very comma, in the eyes of human being, not just Arab, because there will come a time, Bible prophesy, as you go right until the end of the day, majority of the world population, just before Jesus come back, hear carefully, majority of the world population, just before Jesus come back, will be anti-Semitic. Yes, I know y'all are shocked. He's coming back. Just that now is politically incorrect. Israel is not done yet. God has great zeal for Israel. If God has great zeal for Israel, we need to learn to carry the heart of God. We need to love Israel. When I say love Israel, doesn't mean we agree with everything or begin to have Jewish name. That's called romanticizing. My name is Kay Chong, not Netanyahu. Okay? I still eat pork. Okay? No, if you want to embrace the culture and so on, it's fine. But don't get into this sentimentalism thing and this romanticizing thing. But get theologically and biblically correct. And most important, ask God to impart His heart for us, for the nation of Israel, so that there comes a day, pressure will come. Loving Israel and standing with Israel will be politically incorrect. It will come a time. I will build through this next Friday to tell you why. It's so crucial. That's why we need to have understanding. I just throw you one thought, then later I'm going to tell you from where. Do you know that it comes to the last days? Okay, don't throw chairs first. I will prove to you from the scripture. Come until the last days. Standing with Israel, persecuting Israel, is an issue of going to heaven and going to hell. Yes, Israel will be a litmus test of your faith. You know, it's biblical. I prove to you later. Okay, fasten your seatbelt. Then more and more, this teaching is going to come from. I say, where did this come from? It's in the Bible. All this, wow. But more and more, God is highlighting, because we are coming to the end of the age. Israel will be, what do you call? Not a signpost. Israel will be not limitless. Israel will be something God raised up. If you are for her, you are for God. You are against her, you are against God. It's biblical. Have you heard the great Abrahamic covenant? If you bless her, you will be blessed. If you curse her, what? You will be curse. You say, oh, that's old covenant. That's Abrahamic covenant. No, do you know that Abrahamic covenant, Mosaic covenant, Davidic covenant is not do away with? It's all three become one. You know, say three in one. I'm not talking about coffee. I'm talking about the covenant. Three become one. Call what? The new covenant. The new covenant. And Israel will always be a test. Right until the end. That's why it's so important for us to know, because today what I'm trying to prove is the mystery of Israel. That means God's rejection of Israel is not final and it's not total. But that's why it's called a mystery. God reject her so that the gospel will come to us. When the gospel come to us, we will provoke her to jealousy. The one big family will come together right until the end. It's called the one new man. It's all about God. That's why I say this whole mystery of Israel is all about Israel, but it's not about Israel. Because at the end of the day, you get who and what about Israel, You miss the point. If you truly understand the mystery of Israel, you were who and what about God. Incredible. Brilliant. How do you even conceive this great idea? That's what happened to Paul. Turn with me. Three reasons. Okay. Turn with me to Romans 9 to 11. Romans 9 to 11. I'm going to share about Israel for the next three Fridays. Today I'm going to talk about the mystery of Israel. That's from Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Next week, I'm going to share about understanding Israel through Romans 9 and 11. No, Romans 9, 10, and 11. Next Friday. Then the subsequent Friday, I'm going to talk about Israel, the church, and the end times. All three play vital roles. We need to understand the roles, okay? But let me just run through Romans 9, 10, and 11 briefly. Give you a simple outline because my heart is that tonight as you go back, I hope I stir up some desire to read about Israel. Because I pray that it will be more than just a desire to read. But may God strike your heart that you will begin to love Israel. Okay, that does not mean tomorrow you book a flight to go to Jerusalem. Okay? I mean, if you want to go, it's fine. But when I talk about have a heart for Israel, it's to love her, to pray for her, to do acts of kindness. That's why one of the things we do is to give, contribute. We bless if the financial help to some minister who is touching the Jewish people in Jerusalem. That's my heart. So let me run through Romans 9 to 11, give you a simple outline so that when you go back for the next few weeks, you can read and understand. Because many people tell me when I read Romans 9, 10, 11, I'm totally concussed. Actually, it's not that hard. It's quite simple. It's very straightforward. Romans 9, 10, 11 is the basic and the foundational doctrine in understand Israel. It's a must-known passage of Scripture. If you want to be the student of the doctrine of Israel, when I talk about doctrine, I'm not just talking about knowledge. I'm talking about the heart of God, biblical understanding of Israel. Romans 9, 10, 11 is a must-known. Must-known. The most important teaching, in fact, probably the most detailed and probably one place only about Israel. I mean, of course, there are some other places like Ephesians, but it's just an excerpt, one verse here and there. But Romans 9, 10, 11 is intense and it's so detailed. And we got to understand these three chapters. Let me give you a simple outline, okay? You can write beside your Bible if you want to. Turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9. Romans 9 basically is about Israel's divine election. Israel's divine election. You see, one of the confusion part about Romans chapter 9 is very often when we read Romans chapter 9, we thought that it's talking about individual salvation. No, Romans 9 is never about individual salvation. Romans 9 is about national election. It's not the issue of individual salvation, but Paul is addressing the issue is of election. The nation, as a nation, Israel is elected. It's not pertaining to individual salvation. That's where we get confused because the issue of election is much more complicated than the issue of individual salvation. That's where Paul took the whole of chapter 9 to explain this whole mystery of election about Israel. That's Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Paul talked about Israel's current rejection. Current rejection. I'm going to come back and break down for you. Israel's current rejection. Because currently, Israel is, inverted comma, rejected. But she will come back as the chosen nation again. And she will play a huge role, especially in the last days and the millennium kingdom. Romans 11. Romans 11. Israel's eventual restoration. Israel's eventual restoration. Let me break down. I know some of you say it like that. How to understand? Let me break down even more. Romans 9. Okay, Romans 9 is Israel's divine election. Romans 10 is Israel's current rejection. Romans 11 is Israel eventual restoration. Okay, God will restore Israel. There will come a day the whole nation of Israel will be saved. You know what that means? I read a lot of commentaries say, they missed, not cockiness, but they really missed the point. They say, cannot mean 100%. It means 100%. One day, whole nation of Israel will be saved. 100%. That's why God is so great. He can do it. He can. Okay, Romans 9, verse 1 to 3. Apostolic zeal and burden for the nation of Israel. Apostolic zeal and burden for the nation of Israel. You know, this is so important because every end time church, the end time church must carry the apostolic zeal and burden for the nation of Israel. Okay, I'm going to talk about, maybe I have time today, if not next week. Romans 9, verse 1 to 3. Apostolic zeal and burden for the nation of Israel. Verse 4 and 5. Okay, one of the best ways is just right at the side of your Bible so that when you read, it's easy. Verse 4 and 5. 8 divine call of the nation of Israel. Israel is entrusted with 8 divine calls. 8 divine calls. Give you a thought. Many people say that new covenant got signed with the church. Do you know that's totally off? God make a new covenant with Israel. The church wasn't even born yet at Acts chapter 1 and 2. Now, give you a thought. Why throughout history, Satan wants to wipe out the Jewish people? Do you know why? If you understand covenant, covenant ends when one party died. This is the same as our wedding vow. That's why people say, oh, we can remarry. No. You can only remarry if one died. Then the covenant ceases. That's why Satan wants to wipe out. If there's no one Jew left on earth, that's why now you understand what's Holocaust. You know, Holocaust is demonic. There's no reason why Hitler hate the Jews that much. Because it's satanic. Because Satan knows more than us, if he wipe out Jewish people, there will be no more covenant with God. Then second, this is a scary one. Actually, not scary. God can pull it off. There will be no second coming. Because only Israel can usher back the second coming of Jesus unto Jerusalem. We can't do it. We can't. Not the Gentiles. You know, say, well, Gentiles now say we replace the church. Where in the Bible say Gentiles replace the church? No. And the Gentile replace Israel? No. No. Because her call is irrevocable. Verse 6 and 9. Romans 9, 6 and 9. 6 to 9. Romans. This, I tell you, this is a very powerful. I think this one whole week I'm just meditating on these three verses. Wow. Wow, I have a little bit of awestruckness. The scale of 1 to 10, I 1.5. That's not too bad. Later I'll tell you why. Because there's three litmus tests of we really understand the mystery of Israel. Okay, Romans 6 to 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 6 to 9. The presumption of Israel concerning their divine election. That's why they fell. Because they make certain presumption that was totally wrong. They thought that we are the descendant of Abraham. God will not reject us. That's why Paul said, not all of Israel is from Israel. I explain to you next week. Romans 9, verse 6 to 9. Presumption of Israel concerning their divine election. I still at chapter 9, okay? Verse 10 to 13. Verse 10 to 13. Then Paul explain the divine election of Israel. The divine election of Israel. This is slightly more complicating, but it's very intriguing because you see the brilliantness. Actually, brilliance is an understatement. The awesomeness that I just have no word to say. God, how do you figure it out? Okay, verse 10 to 13, the divine election of Israel. Verse 14 to verse 18. The mystery of election. The mystery of election. Okay. Paul explained what is that mystery of election. These are all crucial because then you understand how we fit in. Verse 19 to verse 23, still Romans 9. Verse 19 to verse 23. The grace, mercy, and sovereign work of God in the nation of Israel. The grace, mercy, and the sovereign work of God in the nation of Israel. That's where Paul brought out the vessel of honor, the vessel of dishonor, the vessel of wrath, and the vessel of mercy. When you understand this, wow, it's brilliant. How did God even work that out? Because ultimately, Israel will become the vessel of mercy. Now she is the vessel of wrath for a season. Verse 24 and verse 26. The salvation plan of God for the Gentiles. Salvation plans of God for the Gentiles. Verse 24 to verse 26. Verse 27 to verse 29. The doctrine of the remnant of Israel. The doctrine of the remnant of Israel. Finally, verse 30 to verse 33. The cause of Israel's stumbling and rejection. The cause of Israel's stumbling and rejection. Now we go to Romans chapter 10. Okay, I'm running through the simple outline so that when you back, you can read on your own, okay, and be awed by God, okay? Yeah, okay, be awed by the greatness of God when you look at it. No, no, throughout history, Israel is always a nation that demonstrates the grace, the mercy, the sovereignness of God, if there's this word called sovereignness. In good time, in bad time, when she's walking with God, when she backslidden, she demonstrate God. Amazing. That's why she's a chosen. You know, Jewish people are the brilliant people because they are chosen by God. Okay, I want to tell you all the invention, mainly by Jew. Oh, never mind. Another time. Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 1 to 13. Verse 1 to 13. The reasons of Israel's current rejection. The reason of Israel's current rejection. The reason of Israel's current rejection. Four reasons. I'm not going to tell you today. Okay, verse 1 to 13. Reasons for Israel's current rejection. Verse 14 to 17. Verse 14 to 17. Their remedy. Remedy, correct, right? Their remedy for their rejection. There is a remedy. R-E-M-E-D-Y. There's a remedy. God will redeem her. There is a plan. God is working out. Verse 18 to verse 21. The result of their rejection. The result of their rejection. Let's go to Romans 11. Then I'm going to go to the mystery of Israel. Verse 5, Romans 11. Let's go to Romans 11. Verse 1 to 6. Romans 11, verse 1 to 6. Basically talk about the rejection of Israel is not total. The rejection of Israel is not total. That means there are pockets of people get saved. That's why the book of Revelation chapter 7 talks about 144,000 remnant of the nation of Israel that God will seal and God will use them powerfully in touching their own people because there's a remnant. Verse 7 to 10, Romans 11. Blindness of Israel is preordained by God. That's why it's a mystery. Blindness of Israel is preordained by God. Verse 11 to verse 15. Paul is dealing with this issue again. The rejection of Israel is not final. Just now it's not total. Now it's not final. Paul is trying to tell the church, church, don't be cocky. Don't be haughty. You think you have replaced Israel? No. Their rejection is not final. No, it's not. Yeah, it's not final. It's not final. Verse 16 to verse 24. The promise of the future restoration of Israel. The promise of the future restoration of Israel. Verse 25 to verse 29. verse 25 to verse 29, five dimension of the mystery of Israel. Five dimension of the mystery of Israel. The last six verses, I tell you, this is the most powerful six verses. I'm going to tell you later. I hope you fell off the chair. May God grant me the anointing. If not, then fine. Verse 30 to verse 36, the awesomeness of the mystery of Israel. The awesomeness of the mystery of Israel. So turn with me to Romans 11, verse 25. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. I'm going to share with you the need. Actually, need is a very mild word. The necessity, the importance to understand the mystery of Israel. It's from one verse. Romans 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. Let's read together. Verse 25. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be... Let's underline, okay? For I do not desire. Underline the word, do not desire. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Under the line, under the word ignorant. Paul said, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. Under the line, ignorant. Of this mystery... Lest you should be wise in your own opinion. Underline the word wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part. Underline blindness in part. You say, yeah, I'm underlining every word in the verse. No, there are some in between. Blindness, because I'm going to break down the component of this verse. Because this is such a powerful verse. Blindness in part, underline, has happened to Israel. Until, circle the word until. Okay, now don't underline. Circle the word until. Until the fullness of Gentile has come in. Underline the fullness of Gentile has come in. Can? Okay, I know you are concussed. Never mind. Okay. It's very simple. Let me just break down the least. You break up the verse, it's actually very simple to understand. In Romans, in the book of Romans 9, 10, 11, Paul is addressing predominantly to Gentiles audience. That means the Gentiles believer. He's not talking to Jews. Because we all know. He's called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He say himself. But this is very clear. He's specifically addressing the Gentiles believer. He's addressing especially to the Romans believer. Okay, he's addressing the importance and the necessity to understand this thing called the mystery of Israel. Let me just explain to you a little bit about what do you mean by the mystery. In the Bible, especially New Testament, there's this term called mysteries of God. There are about seven or eight mysteries of God. Okay, Paul taught it all by Paul. Seven or eight mystery of God. Okay, why is this mystery of God? Okay, mystery of God is not new truth. I say it again. It is truth that always in the Bible, but we never really understood it. But at the right time, the Holy Spirit opened up our eyes at the right season, because God is emphasizing in that point, we begin to understood the mystery of God. Okay, when, I have no time. Turn, you write that Romans chapter 16, verse 25 to verse 26, where Paul explained what is this mystery of God. There are seven or eight. Give you one example. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 32. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. Where Paul teaches what? About church is the wife of Jesus, and Jesus is the husband of the church. It's the mystery of the bride of Christ. And Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32, yes, what a great mystery. The truth has always been there, but we never really see it. But this is one of the mystery that God is unraveling right now, because it's the will of the Father that in this season, He's going to reveal, and by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, that's why we begin to understand. This is what the mystery of God. But this Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Paul is emphasizing on the mystery of Israel. Let me just run through, okay? Because if it's important for the Romans believer and the believer during Paul's time to know, it's even more important for us, for our generation to know. Two reasons. One, Israel is back. Israel is back. When Paul was sharing this burden, Israel is backslidden and is being rejected by God. And Paul talked about the importance and the necessity to understand. For us, it's even more important because Israel is back. That's why when Paul shared this, Romans 9, 10, 11, he has a tremendous burden for the Gentile church to understand this mystery. Tremendous burden. Because one, Israel is back. Two, we are the end time generation. He has a tremendous burden and he said this, oh church, verse 25, said, I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant. You got to know this. You must know this. You know, I call this apostolic burden. In the entire Romans 9, 10, 11, there are two apostolic burden which the end time church must carry. There are two apostolic burden. I'm sharing this is because I pray that the Holy Spirit will impart to us this apostolic burden. You know what is this two apostolic burden? One is Romans 11, verse 25. The burden to know about this mystery of Israel, not just to know, but to preach it. Because the church needs to know. The church has to know. There's a second burden. Turn with me to Romans 9. Romans 9. Romans 9. There are two important apostolic burden pertaining to the mystery of Israel. One is to understand the mystery of Israel and to preach it. Two is Romans 9, verse 2. Burden for the salvation of the Jewish people around the world. Now I pray, God, may you release these two burdens upon us as a house. One is burden to be the voice to advocate this mystery about Israel. And second, may we have burden for the salvation of the Jewish people around the world. Paul said this in verse 2, chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 2. That I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen, according to the flesh. You know, Paul has great burden, great zeal for the salvation of the nation of Israel. And in Romans 9, 10, 11, there are two powerful apostolic burdens. One is burden to be the advocate of the mystery of Israel. And one, and second, is the burden for the salvation of the nation of Israel. And we have to carry these two. And I pray that God will give us these two burdens. Turn back with me to Romans 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. Paul has a tremendous burden for the church to understand this mystery. Let me just give you three reasons. One, the church has to pray for Israel. That's how I share Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7. Isaiah 62, verse 6 and 7, where God set watchmen on wall. You know, one of the agenda is pray till Jerusalem is being established. First one. That's why we need to understand this mystery of Israel, that we can pray, in very comma, correctly. Second, the church, One of the key roles of the church is to provoke Israel to jealousy. Provoke Israel to jealousy. Romans 11. Let's go to Romans 11, verse 11. Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? I mean, this is a very powerful, because the whole Romans 9, 10, 11, basically Paul is answering questions, because there are many questions that's popping up regarding Israel. In this case, Paul is answering another question, is that, no, don't get me wrong. The rejection of Israel is not final. That's why he said, no, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But listen to this one, talking about the role of the Gentile church that has to provoke Israel to salvation. He said this, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Salvation has come to the Gentiles so that eventually we will provoke Israel to jealousies. They talk about Joel 2. Verse 28 to 32. You know, we pray so much about Joel 2, verse 28 to 32, because there is a reason in the last days why God will pour out His Spirit on the church. You know why? To provoke Israel. I can tell you later. Let's go. Third reason. It's getting hot. Third reason, not the aircon. Third reason. One is, the reason we need to know the mystery of Israel is we have to pray for Israel. Second is, we have to provoke Israel to jealousy. Third, fasten your seatbelt if you haven't never heard this before. Israel will be a litmus test of our faith in the last days. Standing for Israel and resisting or rejecting or persecuting Israel will be an issue of going to heaven and going to hell. See, how can that be? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Jesus makes it so clear. So clear. Matthew chapter 25. No, I'm not this all for Jew thing. I love the Jews. But I do understand that some things Israel is doing right now, some things, okay, not all, it's not exactly correct. And it's not God pleasing. To me, it's not neither or. Neither am I blind or whatever. I'm not those who say everything about Israel is right, because truly there are some things that they did politically is wrong, because Israel also commit terrorism too, in a certain extent. That's where we have the people of God, we have to say, no, it's wrong. Even though you are my elder brother, that is wrong. But it's the divine work of God that God used Israel as the litmus test, especially coming to the last days. If you stand with Israel, you will be blessed. If you don't stand with Israel, you go to hell. Okay, I'm using the word go to hell. Really, you are going to hell. No, I'm not saying you're going to hell. I'm saying if you are not standing with Israel, I'm not cursing you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. I taught Matthew chapter 24 and 25 many times. If you know Matthew chapter 24 and 25, the teaching is in one sitting. And the context of Matthew chapter 24 and Matthew chapter 25 is about end time and second coming. Matthew chapter 25 has three very important parables. Personally, I believe that it's probably the most three most important parables for the end time generations. It's parable of the 10 virgins, which is about buying oil. Parable of talents, which talk about judgment. One day, each and every one of us will stand before Jesus. He will judge us on our work. The last parable, which is a parable of sheep and goat, is pertaining to standing with Israel. Let me just run through verse by verse. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. Because this is in the context of second coming, where Jesus bring everyone, all nations, and He begin to judge. And one of the criteria is about whether we stand with Israel or we neglect or resist or reject Israel. Let's go, verse 31, Matthew chapter 25. I challenge you to go and search it yourself. If you don't have to agree with me right now. You know, I checked through many commentaries. Many people who write the commentaries agrees that it's about Israel. But they stop short of agreeing because they say, it cannot be so harsh. How come don't stand with Israel, will go to hell? And most commentators will stop there. You know why they don't have to make up? Because they don't understand the heart of God. That's where next 2 weeks I'm going to explain why Israel. I must tell you a little bit. When God begins the Garden of Eden, how many trees were there in the Garden of Eden? Two trees. No, trick questions. Two trees, you should know. The apple tree and the orange tree. No. The tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's always like that. You have to make a choice. Adam and Eve has to make a choice. Tree of life or tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you choose tree of life, you are with God. If you choose tree of knowledge of good and evil, you are against God. If you know the Bible, symbol, trees constantly represent what? Nations. Again, after Garden of Eden, after Noah's Ark, God raised up another tree. In fact, he raised up two trees. The tree of Isaac, the tree of Ishmael. Choose. Which one? That's why next week I'll talk about it. One is the sons of the promise. One is sons of the flesh. It's always about making the choice. No, the great part is not Israel. It's God. Just that Israel happened to be a vessel that God chose. That's why you need to understand this whole doctrine of the mystery of election. That's why you read Romans chapter 9. The Romans say, unfair, God, unfair. That's where Paul takes one chapter to explain this whole mystery of election. Say, who are you to talk? I'm the potter, you are the clay. It's about clay. It's about election. Israel is the channel and the vessel. Let's go. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I just give you why we need. That's why Paul has a tremendous burden for the Gentiles church, because they don't understand this mystery of Israel and they are becoming cocky. And Paul said, you don't understand. He has a tremendous burden. And we, more and more, has to be develop this burden too, because if the church don't understand, we will develop anti-Semitism along the way. I'm going to tell you why as I go further. Verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. This is talking about second coming, where He will judge the nations. He gathered the nations. We have no time to explain. There are two judgments. Verse 32. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Now you know He's coming, He judged. One group of people will be sheep. One group of people will be goat. We know in the Bible, sheep are good. Sheep are good. Goats are bad. You want to be sheep or goat? You want to be sheep, because sheep are God's people. You enter into the kingdom. Goats, you will be rejected. Okay. Verse 33. He will set the sheep on His right. So this is just this not real, okay? Doesn't mean you see on the right, it means you're a sheep, or see on the left, you're a goat, okay? But it's just talking illustration. And he will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Now He's trying to explain who qualified to be sheep, who qualified to be goat. Again, please understand this. This is just one of the criteria. One, when Jesus come back to judge the nation. But one of the most neglected and most misunderstood criteria about Israel. Verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepare for you from the foundation of the world. It's like Jesus said, welcome you, Cynthia. You qualified. You are the sheep. Then He gives the reason. He gives the reason. Verse 35. For I was hungry, and you give me food. I was thirsty, you give me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, you came to me. Six things that this sheep did that makes Jesus so proud and happy. Six things. Okay, later I'm going to explain to you this six thing. This six thing has to be taken literal. And you will not fully understand if you don't understand that in the Bible teaches that one more time in the last days, the Jewish people will be badly persecuted. You know, if you think Holocaust is bad, end time persecution by Antichrist will be far worse than the Holocaust. Holocaust, World War II is how many years? Less than 10 years, right? Less than 10 years, 6 million Jews were killed. You know the Bible talks about in the last days, more than 10 times of the Jews will be killed. More than 10 times during the Holocaust. That's more than 60 million. I'm going to show you the verse later. The Bible talks about two-thirds of entire world population of Jewish people will be killed in the last days. This will happen literally. Verse 37. Now you know, sheep, because he take care of this group of people. Hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison. Verse 37. Then the righteous... In fact, Jesus called them righteous because they stood with the Jew in the last days. Verse 37, then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? That's where Jesus gives the answer. Verse 40. And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, underline these two words, my brethren, you did it to me. Go and check Bible. This word, my brethren, is exactly the same root word that Paul used in Romans 9, verse 3, where he say that I rather myself to be cursed so that my brethren will be saved. Jesus is talking about you didn't do it to me, but you did it for my brethren, which are the Jewish people. I don't explain this. No, it can be referring to poor. If referring to poor, then we are all in deep trouble. Okay, let's go further. Verse 41 cannot be referring to poor. I tell you why. Verse 41. Now he come and deal with the goats. He deal with the sheep. Already. Verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me. You see, this is a very strong word. If you read the previous two parable of the 10 virgins and parable of the talent, even though Jesus so-called scolded them, he never said you are the curse, or he said depart from me, because this is a very strong word. When God said, cursed are you, this is serious. He's talking about going to the lake of fire. He said this, verse 41. Then he also said to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into the everlasting fire, prepare for the devils and his angels. Where are they supposed to go? Where is everlasting fire? Where? Hell. Lake of fire. So I'm making, without shadow of doubt, that this group of goats are going to lake of fire. You say, how can that be? No, I didn't say it. The Bible say it. So if you have an issue, go and talk to God. See, at the end of the day, it's about what does the Word of God say? Not our opinion. Because if based on our opinion, most of us will think this. Isn't this a bit harsh? Right. God, unfair, isn't it? That's exactly what Romans 9 is all about. Hey, God, this sounds a little bit harsh, but this is the criteria that God set. I'm going to explain to you for the next two Fridays so that we will stand with Israel. Let's go further. Then now Jesus gives the reason why you are going to the lake of fire. For I was hungry, and you give me no food. For I was thirsty, the same six things. I was thirsty, you give me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. These are the things that will happen in the last days as a test for the Gentile believer. Do we stick our neck out standing with Israel, or do we reject them? Or worse still, do we join with the anti-Semitic people persecuting the Jewish people? Or worse still, do we embrace this thing called replacement theory? You know, this replacement theory is the root for anti-Semitism right until the end. It is. That's why we've got to get the theology right, that God has not totally or finally rejected Israel. It's only partial. And God will restore the nation of Israel. You say, wow, how can church be so blind? I give you another thought that is so scary. I will continue this. Give you another thought that is so scary. Have you heard of this guy called Martin Luther? Martin Luther is known as the first Reformationalist. You know that at the end of Martin Luther's life, at the end, Martin Luther became anti-Semitic. He wrote a huge thesis about why God cursed the Jew, why God rejected the Jew totally, why God